The Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast features people from the real estate community sharing real stories about their struggles, pains, and even losses during their own real estate journey. We share these real experiences so you can learn from them and build a successful journey of your own. Now, here's your host, Cody Lewis, one of the managing partners at Vindu Capital, located in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey everyone, I'm excited to have everyone back and listening to the show. I'm even more excited to welcome back the founder of Freestyle Capital Group, Melanie McDaniel. Melanie, thank you for joining us again. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, absolutely. I know you're incredibly busy. You got a lot of stuff going on. So we very much appreciate the time. For those that maybe missed the first episode, did not hear your background, if you wouldn't mind giving us a little snippet, peek behind the curtain, if you will, where you're from, how you got into real estate, and what kind of real estate you find yourself in these days.
I'm from Utah. I joined the military. It was the first thing I did to get out of town, get traveling the world. So I did that. I was 17 when I joined the Navy. My first duty station was in Italy, which I was stoked about because all I wanted to do was travel. It's just a huge piece of my life. When I was getting out of the Navy, I decided to study travel administration. That's what my degree is in, because I just wanted to travel. Thought, well, that's what I like to do. Maybe I'll do that. So got my degree. And then I ended up working as like a co-pilot in Waikiki on Atlanta submarines, if you know what that is. It was a pretty fun job, but I was going nowhere. And the corporate ladder was not interesting to me there. And I grew up, my dad was in, he worked for the state of Utah. So he's like, why don't you just get a job with a pension and you'll have a retirement, you just work your 20 years and be done. So at the time, my dad's wife was a park ranger. I thought, hey, that's interesting, I could do that. So that's what I did. Became a park ranger, ended up staying much longer than I ever thought I would, because I was just kind of doing it while I was figuring out what I wanted to really be when I grew up. So I did 9 years, but in 2015, I read a book, Rich Dad Poor Dad, which is a turning point for a lot of people. And it was really just a mindset shift. And I had never been exposed to real estate or this idea of passive income. So it was just mind blowing to me. And I couldn't unread that book. So from 2015 to 2017, I spent a lot of time learning, listening to Bigger Pockets in my patrol car. Even when I was like doing hike foot patrols, I'd have my phone in my pocket with the podcast on. I was a really great government employee, by the way. conferences and I did the Rich Dad Poor Dad training program. And yeah, by the time, the biggest thing I needed to do, not just the learning of course was super important, but the mindset shift, because I was so trained to have a job with a pension and all that, and to shift to entrepreneur passive income, that was the piece that took the longest for me to actually get to where I was going. So in my learning, I was starting to learn that scale meant a lot to me. Like I wanted to scale, but I couldn't see past the first deal or past the first milestone. The first milestone for me was quit the federal job. I became a real estate agent, worked my butt off only for 2.5 years, built a team and pretty much focused on investors, which turned out to be a really great thing. I doubled my federal income in 1 year and I tripled it by year three. And then it was pretty awesome. So I ended the real estate agent thing in December of 2019, but because I had a team, I saw passive income coming in while I shifted to commercial real estate full-time and became nomadic. I'm homeless. I started in Thailand in January of 2020, launched my business from there, left Thailand, and then coronavirus happened. And then my travels all got canned for 2020 for the most part. But anyway, now I did Michael Blanc's coaching program. I do have a 24 unit kind of through that, not through it, but it was the property that I acquired while doing the coaching program. I'm an LP and now I fully identify as a capital raiser, because after all the experience of doing my deal, I learned that what I love to do is talk to investors. And I also want to work from a computer because I am nomadic and don't live anywhere. So that's me now.
Well, perfect. And listen, I think we said it last time. First and foremost, thank you for your service. But it's interesting to hear everyone's background. And I love the travel. I can only imagine for somebody who loves to travel as much as you do, last year was just utterly terrible, being grounded as much as we all were. So I'm glad that things are opening back up. I'm sure you are as well. I know you're not at your home base right now. You're out and about. So I know you're probably really enjoying getting back to that. But all the things that you were talking about, I think, you know, definitely once you read Robert's book, you close Pandora's box. Once it's opened, as you said, you can't unread it. I know when I was reading that, I just put it down several times and had to like stop and think. It was like, what did we learned it all wrong? We learned it all wrong. And now here we are today talking about this. But for all the success that you've had in your real estate career thus far, I'm sure it hasn't been always incredibly easy. And that's what we want to talk about today and educate our audience so they can hopefully learn from all of our mistakes along the way. So if you wouldn't mind taking us through some of that today.
Yeah. So it has to do with the 24 unit, my first deal, of course. You can learn and train yourself to death. You can do all the conferences and all the training programs, and it's very easy to just throw down 20 or 30 grand on a program and be like, all right, I'm going to know everything after this. Well, no, you're not. Oh man. So, the 24 unit first deal, I did have a partner. So I found this deal because as a real estate agent, I was looking for quads for my clients. It was a military community. I was in Norfolk, Virginia. These guys wanted a quad. They want to live in a unit, rent out the rest and house hack. Right. So I sent a mailing campaign, 56 letters, one time. I pulled three quads off of that, sold those to my clients. But one of those quad owners also had a 24 unit apartment. He's like, well, do you do those? I'm like, I buy those, me. So I sold his quad to my client and I bought the 24 unit, which it's a mom and pop off market that ended up, you know, when you get the rent rolls and then you actually take over and all of a sudden you're like, oh, there is a schizophrenic crack addict and unit whatever. And he was just placed. This is great. You know, so there were definitely some hiccups transitioning from the buy, you know, to the ownership and all during COVID, by the way, because we closed in January, right before COVID. And yeah, it was an interesting year, but that's actually not what I wanted to talk about. The actual thing I want to talk about was we had a Freddie Mac loan and through CBRE and everything was going fine, I guess. They came to the property, toured, but we were having this like 100-year, it wasn't a flood, but there was this like the river had blown up and there was water all down the street because we are in a flood zone and it's Ocean View in Norfolk, and it had the river was just full and it just backed up. So there's water under the place. I mean, it was built in the 1960s. It's still there. And it's not like it was a hurricane. It was just water. So anyway, the day that they decided to come out and tour the property was the day the river was at its peak. And here we are sloshing around to looking at the property. So I'm not surprised they dropped us because Freddie is pretty, you know, strict on stuff, but it's still, it was kind of painful because we didn't really have a backup plan and we were closing in a month. Like it was December 11th when they dropped us. I think we closed January 11th or something. Anyway, CBRE still sent us a bill and they said, we have no other options for you. So that was $8,000 or $10,000, which, you know, some of that, the appraisal, the inspection, whatever, some of those costs were fine, but then they just had some costs in there that was just the, hey, we had a phone call. So here's 10,000, you know, here's your bill. So we had to pay that, but luckily we found a local bank. So I think this is the lesson is local banks that believe in the market and believe in an area. Sometimes they're your best backup plan. If you can't get those agency financing, non-recourse, we ended up going with a recourse loan through a local bank. I think it was a credit union, actually. Pretty similar loan to value, pretty similar terms, a little bit higher interest rate. I think they actually gave us a little bit higher loan to value. I think we got 77%. We were at 75% with Freddie, but they were able to close in the 30 days. They used the appraisal from CBRE. They used all of the stuff CBRE had done. So that's key as well, because some banks won't make you redo all of that. But they were happy to use it. So it ended up being a happy story, a happy ending. I mean, we had to do non-recourse, which was probably the worst part of it, but everything else worked out and we're still able to close on time. So for me, that's the lesson learned on that to not, I would say with lending, insurance, anything, like have a backup plan and be prepared for Freddie or Fannie to drop you at the last minute. I listened to one of your recent episodes and, oh, it was Brian Risco. Mm-hmm. Yep. But it was an interest rate thing, but yeah, those institutional lenders, they're in control. We're just, well, it's tough. So have a good backup plan and preferably a local bank or credit union that believes in the market wants to invest there, I think is a really good option.
I think that's a fantastic thing. You know, we've heard different things around like even having different multiple exit strategies, you know, having backup plans along every piece of the way, I think can be a valuable lesson to learn. And I don't know if you hear that enough at like conferences and all the different seminars and books and podcasts that we listen to, is, having those multiple options, no matter what part of the journey you're on or what phase you're in with the property, having the multiple options is great. For those that are looking, that maybe they're dealing with Freddie or Fannie, and they want to start looking and building those options, what is your advice for them to go opening the doors to maybe a local bank, especially if it's not their community that they're a part of? How do you broach those topics? How do you make those connections? What kind of advice do you have for those that maybe want to start building those backup plans, but maybe don't live in the community?
Yeah, if you don't, I mean, it's picking up the phone and talking to whoever the commercial lenders are. I think asking for terms, what they like, how they underwrite. Figuring out how to present the deal to them, how they like the deal presented. And yeah, just starting those relationships. And if you ever tour a property or go to a place, I do think a lender is one of the stops you should make. You should have lunch with your lender. You should stop by the office. Like, it's still a people business, I think, at the end of the day, especially with these smaller banks and things. You want them to know who you are. So, but the first step is, you know, reaching out and figuring out who the contact is and starting that relationship.
How many banks did y'all go through? And maybe it was just the one, but or at least did y'all initially reach out to before you found the one that you ultimately partnered with?
Well, because I lived in the area, I had a bank, a credit union that I used with a lot of my clients. And it was a credit union, local, small. Dan, I mean, I had such a great relationship with him. He would call me, Melanie, bring 12 of your investors. We got box seats at the Tides game, you know, or he would, you know, buy drinks when we'd get together. Like, he was a big piece of my team. We ended up not using them because he couldn't beat because of this other credit union, but we called at least three. My partner might have called even more, but no, we called many because one, we had a short closing period, so someone had to close quickly. And then now we're in a flood zone and already been dropped by Freddie, so that, you know, they have to be excited about the location, believe in the location, and then you have to sell the team, of course. Luckily, with the non-recourse loan, we could back the loan. We had enough net worth, because if we didn't, that would have been a whole new problem that we had. So, the one credit union we ended up going with, the other one would have been an option too. They were willing to give us the 77% loan to value, so that made the difference for us. We're super happy with them as well, because during COVID, they called us and said, don't pay your mortgage. They gave us 4 months of forbearance. We didn't even have to ask for it. And that is the only thing that kept us in the black during COVID, by the way. So we're super happy with the credit union we ended up going with.
Well, to your point, I think you mentioned it's very much a people. It very much still is a people thing. You got to know the people in the community that you're working with. You're a partner adjacents, if you will, right? They're not part of your actual team, but all the folks you work with, your CPAs, your lawyers, your banks, those folks are incredibly powerful to be part of your journey, whether you're going to be using them every time or not. Having them and knowing what your team specifically and how you operate and how they operate can only just help each other out. So I think that's a really good thing.
And the lender, like, just because you get a loan and you close, it doesn't mean that relationship is over. I mean, that relationship's ongoing, and being able to get the forbearance. I mean, they checked in on us. They knew it was COVID. They knew rents weren't coming, and they checked in on us. Like, how are things going? You guys should probably not pay your mortgage. I mean, they came to us. So that was awesome, but it's not a close the deal and your lender, it's ongoing the whole time you have that project. And then of course, yeah, future projects, if everything goes well, I would stick with a lender for sure. Any of my service providers or whatever, if they were awesome, why would I go anywhere else?
I love that. Well, Melanie, I can't thank you enough. I think that's an incredibly powerful thing for our audience to hear. I know it's great for me to hear. For those that maybe, like I said, missed the last episode, they want to follow up with you. They want to get to know you. They maybe even want to work with you in the future. Where's the best place for folks to reach out to you and find you?
So I'm on all the socials, but if you go to my website, then that's the first stop because all the socials are there, but it's also the way you can get either on my newsletter or do the free download, the Financial Freedom Journey. And then they can also, and the website's freestylecapitalgroup.com, or they can just email me directly because I keep my business small. Ideally, honestly, I would have 50 investors. That's it. like for my whole enterprise of in life, 50 investors, that's it. But, you know, I have hundreds in my database. But if I had just 50 people, I knew them well, they're my buddies and they reinvested, that's all that I would need. So if they email me directly, I'm happy to just have a call and really get to know a person. So Melanie@freestylecapitalgroup.com. I really just want to have a relationship business and do life together.
Perfect. And we'll put all that in the show notes for anyone listening so you can quickly find it. Melanie, I can't thank you enough for coming back on. We very much appreciate you coming in and sharing with your experience and giving back to our audience. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's fun.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you everyone for listening. We'll see everyone next time.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast with Cody Lewis. Be sure to subscribe today on your favorite podcasting platform so you can catch every episode of the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast.